A4.
Number 23A.
For the few hours that are left for the class, I want to leave now that subject of the four levels of consciousness and take up now the second big question of this week, namely how to become one with reality. You remember we started in the class and said we must ask what are the great questions of being. And we said, well, the very first big question of being is naturally to ask what is reality. Because before we don't know what reality is, we can't get anywhere. So up to this present point, we were discussing really the nature and structure of reality. Then the second big question is, well, how are we one with that reality? So that what we have been doing up to now is not just a mental concept that seems to be somewhere outside of us, but that we really feel that we are the very reality itself. And therefore, one must have methods which will help us to be the very presence of that reality, of all that what we have been discussing up to now. In showing how we can be one with that reality, we would have to deal with two methods as far as it is practical at this present stage. The one would be, that would be 2A, the step from metaphysics to science, and then afterwards the 8 steps which brings us from the personal I to the I am that I am. Because we don't have enough time to do both rightly, I prefer to do just one rightly and not to touch on the second one. We will do only the first one, namely the step from metaphysics to science, and leave out the second one, those 8 steps from the personal I to the I am, because I have given that before at the summer school in Ogunquit, and I have presented that and it's taped. And perhaps also one time we may be able to write a booklet about that subject. But just for you to know that what I do now as a step from metaphysics to science is not enough to answer that whole question of how to become with reality. What do we mean by the subject of the steps from metaphysics to science? Mostly people think that metaphysics and science and Christian science are one and the same thing, but they are not. They are absolutely not the same thing. And so I quote first what Mr. Dorley once said at the height of his presentation of Revelation when in 49 at the summer school made the following very clear-cut statement about metaphysics and science when he said, and I quote, "Metaphysics involves the contemplation of ideas." He made a semicolon and went on and said, "Whereas science involves the contemplation of the infinite one, forever including within itself its own ideas." Therefore, in short, we could say the difference between metaphysics and science is this, that in metaphysics we are contemplating ideas, whereas in science we have to do with the contemplation of the infinite one, including its own ideas. And in order to bring out what this short statement really conveys, and it's something very big that is conveyed by it, I just want to go quickly through the various concepts of metaphysics, bringing it up to the point of science. We know that metaphysics is something, a field of philosophy, a branch of philosophy that has to do with ontology and cosmology. It is defined by Mrs. Eddy when she quotes the dictionaries as a science of mind, and she does not capitalize mind in that reference. It's a science of mind, small m. And she quotes Rochester, defining metaphysics as the philosophy of mind, small m, as distinguished from matter. So we can see that metaphysics is that field of ontology and cosmology which investigates being, existence, the whole cosmos, not from the point of view of matter, but from the conceptual point of view, from the mind point of view, mind small m, point of view. Now, Mrs. Eddy uses the term metaphysics in her textbook, but we must be aware that she only uses the term metaphysics about 70 times, whereas science she uses about 1,000 times. So the relationship is about 1 to 15, and one can see right out of that that metaphysics doesn't play that big part as science does in her discovery. And even if one takes the statements about metaphysics, one can see that she makes various categories of metaphysics. She categorizes and would see that metaphysics can have to do with just ordinary metaphysics, as that science of mind with small m, but that there is also a divine metaphysics, that there is also scientific metaphysics. And so we have to be a bit careful when we just use the term metaphysics to know what we really mean by it. Because this was once a very big pitfall in Mrs. Eddy's life, that her first students mistook science and you practiced ordinary metaphysics, just mind over matter, mind small m over matter. Though those students who were then just ordinary metaphysicians called themselves scientists. So we have to see that we are really making a good distinction, and so that we really shouldn't call ourselves just metaphysicians, but really scientists, insofar as we really are practicing science and not metaphysics. So many scientists call them scientists, but are actually only metaphysicians. And in order to bring out the difference, let's just quickly see what is meant by metaphysics. You know that metaphysics comes from the Greek and means metaphysica, and the first time this term was used was by Aristoteles. You call him Aristoteles. He wrote a book on physics, and then he had another addition added to it, and that he called metaphysics, that which comes after physics. As if he would say, first comes physics, and then there is another field which comes after physics or is beyond physics, which relates really to another field than the material field, the physicos, the material external nature. Indicating already that metaphysics seems to have to do with the mental realm and with the conceptual approach to reality. Mrs. Eddy says that in her life she was really led to metaphysics over the way of allopathy and then homeopathy, because in homeopathy she began to see more the mental nature of disease and could see that there is a realm besides the... She began to see in homeopathy, you see, that there is something else than the material sense of disease. I said the mental, sorry. The material part of disease, that there is a mental aspect to disease, and that through homeopathy, where she used unmedicated pellets in healing the sick, she could see that actually not matter was healing, but that the mental state was a healing agent. Therefore, she says, the author's medical researches and experiences had prepared her thought for the metaphysics of Christian Science. What is that metaphysics? She says, matter does not enter into metaphysical premises or conclusions. So we can see that metaphysics is that which is above physics. It says metaphysics is above physics, namely in the mental realm, in that realm which has no time, no space, no body, no person, nothing like that. When one begins to consider and contemplate the so-called material and personal universe as an immaterial universe. She even says that metaphysics challenge physics, showing that there is a great struggle going on between the material concept and the metaphysical concepts. And leads thought on and says, and little by little, metaphysics takes the place of physics. And we have seen that today, or in our age, that more and more the realm of physics is pushed nearer to the borderline of metaphysics. What does metaphysics do in that challenge with matter? She defines it and says, metaphysics resolves things into thoughts. That's metaphysics. That's not science. It resolves things, the material, into thoughts, into the mental, and exchanges the objects of sense for the ideas of soul, and then we touch science. The metaphysical realm, we must understand, even in an ordinary way, quite apart from Christian science, the ordinary metaphysical realm shows that the mental has power over the physical, that there is a relationship between the mental and the physical, and that therefore the mental conditions affect the body. This is still ordinary metaphysics. This is not yet science. And therefore all the metaphysical groups all over the world will build on these statements. These are statements from Mrs. Eddy's textbook, because she too has to explain the metaphysical realm, though her discovery is not metaphysics. Her discovery, as she says, is science. And so we have to be aware that a lot is in the textbook that also could be in any other metaphysical book. Again, we have that phenomena that many statements are in the textbook that could be in any of those metaphysical books, and then people come along and say, you know, I have read so-and-so and so-and-so, and it's exactly like the textbook. It's exactly what Mrs. Eddy says. Yes, yes. A lot of it is exactly what Mrs. Eddy said, because Mrs. Eddy had to present not only science, but she also had to present science, including metaphysics, but she showed more than metaphysics. And that's the point. So we should not be sidetracked again by these books that say more or less many things about the relationship between the mental and the physical that is also stated in the textbook, because that's a very common field of ordinary metaphysics. So we will have to look out what is different in the textbook than in the other metaphysical treatment or treatise. She would show that in metaphysics that fear can even kill a man, that mortal mind says how well or how sick one is. But that's something we can read all over the world. We don't need for that the Christian Science textbook. That's metaphysics. It's common metaphysics that the mental affects the body. And therefore, we have hundreds and hundreds of different metaphysical practices and metaphysical methods of healing. And therefore, when we see somebody healing through mental means, we shouldn't say, well, that's exactly like Mrs. Eddy, because Mrs. Eddy did not heal with material means. Healing not with material means does not mean that one heals with spiritual means, and it does not mean that it is science. It's ordinary metaphysics. No matter if that metaphysics is an esoteric belief, no matter if it's a mesmeric belief, no matter if it's a charismatic belief, no matter if it's a religious belief, it's just mental, a mental belief, and every mental belief, as we have seen, has its effect on the body. If that belief is positive, it has a positive effect on the body. If that belief is negative, it has a negative effect on the body. So Mrs. Eddy had, at the beginning, to reduce the science of mind capital M, to the level of ordinary metaphysics and those first instructions she gave on metaphysical healing are all on that level. But naturally, she could see a higher sense of metaphysics, and here already one begins to see the transitional stage, which we will find to the signs of mind, when she relates metaphysics to God, to the divine mind. For instance, when she says, Christian Science is the unfolding of true metaphysics, that is, of mind, or God, and his attributes. So she begins to introduce true metaphysics compared with ordinary metaphysics, or she speaks right away of divine metaphysics and says divine metaphysics is that which treats of the existence of God, his essence, relations, and attributes. It's no more just metaphysics that treats with the relationship between the mental and the physical, or finally says that divine metaphysics is based on the divine mind, that the principle of divine metaphysics is God. And so you can see that here we have a transitional stage where the mental is somehow linked up with God. She says that works on metaphysics leave the grand point untouched. You see, now she analyzes ordinary metaphysics and says they usually leave something important out. So she accepts that there is metaphysics, which is another metaphysics than her divine metaphysics or her science of mind. Says, works on metaphysics leave the grand point untouched. They never crown the power of mind as the Messiah. Mind capitalized. Nor do they carry the day against physical enemies, even to the extinction of all belief in matter, evil, disease, and death, nor insist upon the fact that God is all, therefore that matter is nothing beyond an image in mortal mind. Can you see? She goes on and says, we should make a step further than just that metaphysics which deals with the relationship of mind over matter, that we should go further to that point where we see that there is a science of mind and matter is extinct. We do no more ask then the question of mind over matter. But where we go then slowly into the realm of science, where we will have to deal only with one thing, namely with the science of mind, therefore the relationship of mind to ideas. And then we have left the realm of metaphysics. Is that clear? Well, silly to ask that question because you can't answer back easily, huh? But just to see that there is a terrific difference between metaphysics and the science of mind. Besides divine metaphysics, she also speaks of scientific metaphysics, namely then when she shows that ideas can be computed, that we can compute ideas, that we can blend ideas with ideas. Those exercises which we have been doing with blending of ideas were mostly on the level of metaphysics because we were establishing in our consciousness a clearer sense of idea. So that she would say that, for instance, a chapter on recapitulation, that scientific metaphysics would pervade those pages, because there she goes out really from the divine principle and then deduces from the divine principle to the point of ideas and shows scientific metaphysics, namely the calculus of ideas. Yes. So we can ask ourselves, what is now, so to say, the difference between metaphysics and idea? Between metaphysics and science. We have come out of ordinary mental metaphysics, if I may call it that way. You know, the power of positive thinking, things like that. That's metaphysics. But that's not what Mrs. Eddy is teaching. So she lifts it out of the power of positive thinking and says there is a higher metaphysics, a divine metaphysics, where you link up your thought with the ideas of God. That's divine metaphysics, when we link up our thought with ideas of God, of the one mind. And it is scientific metaphysics when we begin to compute ideas with other ideas, blending ideas, and therefore see the calculus of ideas, when we do that. So, in metaphysics, it is always so that we contemplate ideas. If you look now back to what Mr. Dawley said, he said metaphysics is the contemplation of ideas. Whereas science is the contemplation of the infinite one, including its own ideas. Science is therefore is that where we go out not from our thinking, but where we go out from God, from the divine mind, and from the divine mind contemplate the ideas of the infinite. Then we have found our unity with reality. Because if we contemplate no more as us, but when we contemplate as the infinite one, then we are one with the infinite one, and our consciousness is at the point of looking out from the infinite one as the infinite one, and contemplating the ideas of the infinite one. Then we really have taken the standpoint of science. So, for instance, we can read the textbook in two ways. We can read it metaphysically, or we can read it from the point of view of science. Each one of us has the same textbook, but we can approach it in two ways. If we approach it metaphysically, then we read the textbook. If we approach it as science, then we let the divine mind read the textbook, and it's completely different.